For our message, you may turn to the book of Proverbs, taking the message from Proverbs chapter 4. On May 1st, a little before 11 o'clock at night, there was a group of youth walking across a bridge in northern Alberta. The bridge goes across the Athabasca River. I saw a picture of the bridge and the river. Both are big. One young man, 17 years old, his name is Gordon Cron. I don't know many details, but I know he didn't make it across the bridge. He did something wrong. He fell into the river. And because of the rushing water and the extremely strong spring currents, his body wasn't able to be recovered until just this past week. I guess it washed up, and almost 3 weeks later, I forget which day this week, but there was a funeral. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know the details, but obviously Gordon wasn't careful enough. He didn't step right. He misstepped. Something misjudged. Something went wrong, and he didn't make it to where he thought he was going, to the other side of the bridge. Walking in a dangerous place requires careful consideration with each step. And that's what Proverbs tells us here. I'd like to read Proverbs 4, starting at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And that's the title of my message there in verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. Early this week, early last week, I was given a burden, I believe, from the Lord to preach a message especially to our young people. And the burden of the serious consequences of our choice, the importance of our choices in life. We're walking on a dangerous bridge, on a dangerous path. Many, many are slipping and falling into the river beside us and around us and all over. And as we think of normal development for the first years of our lives, our parents make most of our decisions for us. They tell us where to go. They decide when. And they tell us when to go to bed even and what we're going to eat and a lot of those things. And God has designed it that wise parents don't allow pre-teenagers to make a lot of those decisions. God designed it that wise parents give direction in those areas. But as we grow into our teens, our parents begin to assess our responsibility, and they slowly start more and more and more decisions are left up to teenagers. And wise youth need to understand the solemn weight and responsibility that goes along with making choices. Wise youth are careful not to rush into this too fast and to continue to value others' input into their lives and their decisions, especially their parents. Ponder, I looked it up in the dictionary, says ponder is to think about carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. To think about carefully, especially before making a decision. Ponder the path of thy feet. And the path of thy feet gives us a picture of, to me anyway, gives me a picture of a walking path and a direction of travel. Maybe turns that are made along the way. But think carefully about the path of your feet, about the direction of your travel, about where each little decision is taking you. Which direction is it going? Life is full of decisions. And each decision is a step in one direction or another. The book of Proverbs is especially written to young people. We see that all through. My son, here. And yet, all of us, no matter our age, we are often challenged and helped by reading the book of Proverbs. And that's my invitation here during this message this morning. It is especially to youth and to young people. But I hope that all of us can gain some challenges from the message. The outline of the message is from Proverbs chapter 4. I've picked out 5 commandments for youth from Proverbs chapter 4. And each of these requirements is important if any one of us, regardless of our age, will reach our destination, will reach the destination that we want to be. If we're going to make it across a bridge, we will need to follow these directions, or we'll be one of the casualties resulting from missteps and wrong turns and choosing wrong choices. Before we go into that, into those 5 commands, let's read Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 1. We'll read the whole chapter. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." There's many commands in here, but I've picked out, like I said, 5 of them. The first one is the first words of the chapter. Hear, ye children. And that's the direction in verses 1 to 4, but then it's also picked up again in verse 20 through 22. Hear, keep, pay attention. It says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." And I found it interesting that instruction here is a bit different than what we use instruction. When we have instruction class, it's teaching, it's explaining. Sometimes we think of instructions at school. You have in your lesson, you have instructions. First, circle all the ones that are the same. Next, cross out the ones that are different. Instructions, direction. But here, instruction in this verse means discipline, restraint, and even chastisement. So it's not just the teaching and stories and explanations, but something much more important, or much maybe sometimes harder for young people, is to accept the restraints that your parents put in your lives. If you're a normal teenager, there are times when you feel like pushing against those restraints and you don't like them and you think that it's too restricted. And Solomon here, the wise man, says, "Hear ye children the restraints of your father." Accept the restraints of your parents. They are for your good. And the emphasis that he puts on these words several times in the first few chapters. Chapter 1, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." There's numerous times in Proverbs where this is brought out. And that tells me that the youth in his day were just like the youth were 25 years ago when I was a young person. It's important. And I believe that all of you here are normal. And there are times that you need to be reminded, hear the instruction of your parents. Accept the restraints that your parents place in your life. We need to learn to accept authority in our lives. We need to be willing to accept and that our parents have a responsibility to give us direction, and we are accountable to follow it. I thought of Solomon's brother. He didn't hear the instruction of his father, did he? Absalom didn't hear the instruction. He didn't accept the restraints of his father. Well, the Bible tells us his father didn't give him enough restraints, doesn't it? But as he got older, he was a proud, vain man who knew better than his dad. And this came to the point to where he went to war about it against his own father, against the followers of his father. And as I thought of that, like I said earlier, there's a bit of Absalom in each of us. We don't like to be told what to do. And there are times when we know better. And there are times when we decide it's worth raising a fuss about, doing it my way. Even sometimes as simple as, Absalom seemed like a prominent part of his life was his hair. The Bible mentions it anyway. And oftentimes, it still works that way. We like to express me, maybe in our hair or maybe in all different ways, and we like to express that I'm going to do things different than my parents. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Hear ye children the instruction of your father. As I pondered on this and I thought of it, most times I believe if you see a youth, a young person who has turned aside from the teaching of the scriptures, and maybe you see them 20 years later and we're appalled at the mess they've made of their lives, but if you could trace that back, it will very, very likely start in small areas of rebellion against their father and their mother. And they never thought about the direction and where it was going to take them and where they would end up. As I read these commands in Proverbs, and there's the command in Ephesians, obey your parents. There's the command in Colossians, honor your father and thy mother. And none of these, anywhere in the Bible, could I find a clause that said, children, obey your perfect parents. Children, honor your father when he deserves it. It's not for the perfect, but God commanded us to honor and obey our parents, and he knew full well that we would have human parents. And he commanded us still the same. Verse 4, keep my commandments and live. Keeping the commandments of our parents is the only way to live and to live a good life. The second command I found like to pull out is in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. And that's a lifelong quest. It's a drive in most human beings to want to understand things and to know things and to gain knowledge. There's not many people who are just totally happy with what they know, and they aren't in any kind of a quest to read anything or hear anything or just to understand anything more. They're just happy the way it is. Most normal humans, and especially young people, we want to know. We want to figure it out. We want to know why this works. And we have all different interests. Some people want to know why if you wire something different, it runs different. Some people want to know why if you dump this into a recipe, it changes. And we like to understand those things. Some of us like to know what it takes to grow a better crop. And we have all different interests. But here the Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding. And we know the familiar verse in Proverbs that said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverence and respect for God is the basis for wisdom. It needs to be. And if we know and respect God and reverence God, that means we'll want to think like God thinks. We'll love what God loves and we'll hate what God hates. And our lifelong quest will be to figure that out and how to get better at that and how to understand more how God thinks and how He wants us to think and to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. And we learn more of that as we go through life. And James tells us, if any man lacks wisdom, ask of God. God is the source of wisdom. And He will give to all men liberally. 2 Timothy tells us that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. And we all want to be wise. None of us wants to be the fool. None of us wants to be someone that is looked on as not knowing anything. But we want to be wise. Here it tells us, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So if you want to be wise, recognize that wisdom comes from God. And the way God imparts wisdom is through His Word and through Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians tells us. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. Verse 5 also tells us the next words, forget it not. Why would we forget? And as I thought of that, I have a problem of forgetting things. Most of us do. We just forget things. But there's some things we never ever forget. And those are the things we place value on. Those are the things we spend time thinking about. Those are the things that let's go back to the illustration of, let's say I'm really, really interested in how to grow the best corn crop in the county. And I'm going to do research, and I'm going to learn what it takes to grow that. And I'm not going to forget, because I'm going to be thinking about it. And I'm going to be trying a little different. And I'll remember what I did last year. And this must not be very important, because I forget this a lot of times. And I have to go back to my records, and I have to look again, and I still forget. But if it was the most important thing to me, I wouldn't forget. I'd talk about it to everybody I could. I'd figure it out, and I'd remember. If wisdom is the principal thing in your life, don't forget it. Think about it, talk about it, search for it, research it, and get understanding. Wisdom and understanding are also gained by experience. Wisdom comes from God, but as we experience things in life, we begin to understand by experience. And as youth and young people, we need to realize that we're inexperienced. And that there's a lot more wisdom from those who are experienced. And we need to be ready to accept that guidance. And this goes back to hearing the instruction of our parents. There are reasons our parents give restraints. There are reasons they say no. And often it has to do with experience. And often it might have to do with negative experiences that have taught us the hard way. The third one I have here is from verse 14. And it is discussed through verse 19. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Enter not. Don't even start down that path. Maybe your parents have used words like that. Don't even think of starting that. And that's what this proverb writer was telling his son. Don't even start down that path. Don't go their way. His father wrote one time, many years before, well, I don't know how many, but likely a good many. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. As we think of the path of the wicked, verses 18 and 19 here give us a vivid contrast. Verse 18 says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the picture here, I believe, is of the sun coming up in the morning, and it gives light and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Verse 19 tells us that the way of the wicked is as darkness, deep darkness. And I believe it also gets darker and darker until they don't know what they stumble. There's so many regrets, so much sorrow. Galatians 6, we know, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But let's listen to the next verse. It expounds on it even more. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. None of us wants to reap corruption. None of us wants that. But often we don't have the commitment it takes to sow to the Spirit and to deny the flesh. Verse 15 is a powerful verse. It's one that we should all memorize as we think of the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. This isn't just see what happens. This is action. This is offense. Take it to going to the on the offense and avoiding it and turning away. And as youth, let's help each other do that. I thought of a story my dad told us numerous times about when he was a young man, when he was a teenager. He said there was a group, he was with a group of boys that decided they're going to go somewhere. He never told us where they went. He said it was a place they had no business going and they all knew better. But they thought they were going to do it anyway. And he said one boy had the courage to say, I'm not going. And because of that, that helped a few of the others, and a few more didn't go. But a few still went. And he never told me which of his friends were on which side, but he told me that if you could watch the lives and if you could see which ones of those were the ones that didn't go, the direction that showed of their lives and the others, none of them that were there that day and realized that they were making choices, they probably just thought it was a simple choice for what they're going to do this evening. But it was a choice that was part of their direction in life. And he says that there's a big difference even today in where those two groups ended up, each one in that group. But my challenge is, sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need our friends to say, let's not. Let's just not. And sometimes we need to be the friend that says, no, let's not do that. We don't want to, do we? And let's help each other. Those who won't accept that kind of help and those who never ever give that kind of help, we need to be careful how close we get to them and how much time we spend with them. Because verse 16 describes these evil men. Says that they are looking for mischief. And the last part of the verse, they can't sleep unless they cause someone to fall. And the proverb writer tells us about this kind of people, and I've experienced and watched and hopefully have never been, but there are those who find pleasure in getting others to do wrong. And I'm not talking about the young people in town that are doing drugs. I'm talking about right in this kind of setting where we are this morning. Sometimes there are those who find some kind of pleasure in getting others to fall. They'll set traps for those that are younger and weaker and try to trap them into something, to say something they shouldn't. They'll tempt them and dare them and intimidate and mock to see if they can get someone to do something they shouldn't. I've seen this, and I've gotten to a place where I'm like my dad, and I can look back and I can see where two groups of, and I can see the choice where the choices have led some of the people who were teenagers when I was, and I've gotten fairly close to some of these and gotten some pretty close glimpses into their pain and suffering as their marriages fall apart, and as their children maybe continue to make the choices that their parents did, and there's suffering and there's ruin and hurt and regrets, and it's unbelievable suffering. But it's the consequences of choices made through life. Because see, the devil shows us the fun and the pleasure and the short-term glamour and says, look at all the fun you can have. But in reality, it's just like verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Back in Proverbs 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't get close to it. Enter not. Don't even start into the path of the wicked. The choices of our friends are so far reaching. And when we're 14 and 15, maybe we don't realize it. And when we're 17 and 19 and 20, maybe we still don't realize it. But it becomes more and more and more important, because the choices of our friends determine the path that we're going to take. The fourth commandment comes from verses 23 and 24. Keep thy heart with all diligence. What's in your heart? What do you love? What motivates you and gets you excited? That's a direct indication as to what's in our heart. Verse 23, keep, or we might say, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard what you allow to be in there. The Bible tells us our hearts are deceitful. And most of the time, all the time, we need to continually look at what's in our hearts. And we actually need a lot of help with this. And we need to say with the psalmist, God, search me and see if there's anything wicked in there. And let's ask God to do that. Jesus said that we need to fill it with good. It's not enough to just take out the evil, but we need to fill our hearts with good. And the pressures of evil are all around, and our hearts need constant maintenance. We have a natural bend toward evil. We have a carnal nature. But the power of God is greater if we ask Him to search us and cleanse us. And He will. I don't think it's any accident that verse 24 follows verse 23. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. One of the ways, one of the most revealing ways that we show what's in our hearts is right here in verse 24, what comes out of our mouth and what our lips say. The Bible tells us that. Jesus taught that. False and dishonest speech will not come from a heart that is kept with all diligence. That's the thought of perverse here, false and dishonest. You wouldn't expect that from a heart that's kept with all diligence. Maybe we don't have a problem with dishonesty. But how about the first part of this verse? Put away from thee a froward mouth. Do we have a mouth that is willful and contrary and contradictory and quick to contradict what authority says, quick to put a negative light on what others ask of us? This will not come from the lips that are guided by a broken and contrite heart. That's what we need to have a relationship with God. We need a broken and contrite heart. And a froward mouth cannot be the result of a broken heart. The fifth command is also the title of our message, Ponder the Path of Thy Feet. You know, God Almighty designed that humans can make choices. We can make decisions. He gave us the power of choice. But with that, He also gave us the accountability, and that we will answer for our choices. And also, He designed that our choices will produce consequences, and we'll have to accept that. He has given us further. He's given us the opportunity to repent when we make wrong choices, and we're able to start over. And that's such a blessing, because none of us would be here if we could never start over, if we could have never changed our path and repented. Repentance doesn't erase consequences, but it changes our destiny. There are things that we've done in life that we may need to suffer the consequences and the regrets and the pain and various forms of that, but repentance changes our destiny. God will forgive us and accept us into his glory. Verses 25 and 27, can you just get the picture? Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyes look straight ahead. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. The focus that it takes, the determination that's required to reach the goal. There are so many distractions and pressures, but if we're going to make heaven, we'll need to be like the Apostle Paul, and we'll need to press toward the mark. We'll need to press on and keep our eyes fixed straight ahead on the goal. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. When we talk about someone that is lost, we often refer to them as wandering. Here, we need to have established path. We need to know where we're going, and we need to be with determination headed that way. The Bible talks, I believe that's in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's exactly the opposite of what we're looking at here in verses 25 to 27. When I think of verse 26 here in our title, Ponder the Path of Thy Feet, I have this question for myself and for all of you, especially for our youth. When you get to where you're going, will you be where you want to be? If you keep going in the exact same direction you're going now, and if your choices continue to take you that direction, when you get there, will you be where you want to be? It's a very heavy question to all of us, no matter our age. I'd like to tell you the rest of the story about Gordon Cron. He fell off that bridge May 1st. I don't know his family. I don't know his parents. I'm sure they were not perfect people. I do know a bit about the church where they were there in Alberta. It was the last several years, there was bitter turmoil in the church. It was not an ideal church setting at all. It was terrible. I don't know what all factored into the choices Gordon made. But I understand his parents moved away from Alberta and moved quite a ways away to another church in BC. But at 17 years old, Gordon stayed living in Alberta. He was living with a family there from the church where his parents used to go. And there came a time not so long ago where that family asked him to move out because he was bringing ungodly friends to the basement. They were having loud parties, and they said, you'll need to find another place to live. Gordon chose friends that weren't Christians, and when he fell to his death that evening, the report is that every one of the friends he was with tested positive for drugs. You know, it was a terrible tragedy that Gordon slipped and fell into the Athabasca River. It's awful. I can't imagine the pain to his family. I don't know if he has siblings. I tried to find him in a church directory. I didn't. But it's much, much more tragic that Gordon slipped from the path of the righteous. He didn't choose a path that kept the commandments of his father. He didn't fear God. And by the path he was on, the scriptures tell us that He wasn't prepared to meet the judge of all the earth. But he did that night, May 1st. And his time of choices were over. The choices he made, the only thing that's left is the consequences of those choices for eternity. Here we are. All of us are still here today. We all have the opportunity to choose. And we all have questions to answer. And I have a few questions that I'd like to just summarize the message by asking these questions for each of us. If you can't accept the instruction and the restraints of your father and the law of your mother now, what makes you think that another time, somewhere down the road, it's going to get easier? And that God's going to, as God puts more authority and other authorities into your life, that you'll just accept that if you can't appreciate and respect the authority of your parents now? Or if you continue just like you are, is it more likely that you'll be the fool that Solomon writes about so many times in Proverbs? And the one place he says, I'll put it in my own words, don't even waste your breath telling a fool something because he won't listen anyway. When you get to where you're going, will you be where you want to be? Ponder the path of thy feet. If you're making decisions based on the here and now and what feels good and what Satan tells you is going to be the most fun, rather than asking God for wisdom, rather than reaching out to Christians and asking for help and understanding, what is the destiny of that path? When you get to where you're headed, will you be where you want to be? Ponder the path of thy feet. If you're choosing carnal friends and spending your time with lovers of mischief, will you enter into the path of the wicked. It will get darker and darker, and the mischief will lead to wickedness and violence, like verse 17 tells us. Many, many people are sitting behind bars right now and will spend the rest of their life there, largely because of the friends they chose at a young age. Think about who you choose to be with and who you'll spend your time with. It will affect your destiny. Ponder the path of thy feet. If you think you can entertain evil and lustful and jealous and bitter thoughts in your heart and no harm will be done, don't be deceived. If your choice of thought patterns are contrary to God's word, out of your heart are the issues of life. How you think is how you'll live. Our thoughts and thought patterns develop into character and determine the path of our feet. Ponder the path of thy feet. So again, I just say the serious question to each one of us, when you get to where you're headed, will you be where you want to be? If you don't want to go where you're headed, if you know you're headed to the wrong place, if you can identify the decisions and choices that you're making and have made over the last year, and you can identify which direction that's taking you, the answer is obvious. Turn around. There is no better time than now. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let's kneel to pray.